Thankful to be with you this morning and ask an interest in your prayers as we look to the Word of God this morning. I'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now we look forward to and anticipate the day when Jesus Christ returns, and when, as he says in Peter, that this sin-cursed earth is going to be burned up and the elements are going to be melted with a fervent heat, and everything as we know it is going to pass away, and Jesus Christ is going to bring in a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's talking about the light that's going to shine in that day. But I believe also here he's talking about the light that has come into the world with the death, with the life, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the proclamation of his person and work throughout the world. When he talks about this darkness of sin and idolatry, it's combated today with the truth and the light of the glory of God. Remember, the Old Testament was given to a specific group of people, an isolated group of people. The Jewish people had the law of God, and it was only to the Jews, and wherever the Jews may have gone, we're told in the New Testament that Moses was preached in every city, so the Jews had scattered, and wherever the Jews went, the law went with them. But it was reserved for the Jewish people. The promises that if you obey the law, you shall live, it was given to the Jewish people. And now we have the gospel. We have the good news of Jesus Christ, which is to be proclaimed to all peoples, to Jew and Gentile alike. And it says, "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." We have the opportunity this morning and the privilege to tell the good news of the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for his people, which were chosen in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, which includes not just Jews, but also Gentiles. And as Elder Aquino preached this morning, Gentiles who by nature were dead in trespasses and in sins. I want you to recall for a little while this morning just how wicked the natural heart of man is. If you're trusting this morning in anything in yourself, anything in your flesh, if you're hoping in anything that you have the ability to do in yourself, I want you to know with a certainty that that's a vain, vain and empty hope, that you cannot serve God in your own strength. It says in Ephesians 2:1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." What does that word quicken mean? It means to make alive. It means to make spiritually alive someone who was dead to the things of God. Did you know it takes the almighty power of God to make a sinner love God? It takes God's power, it takes God's quickening power to raise up a sinner who is separated and alienated and isolated from the mercy and from the grace of God. In relationships, we know that the natural order, of course, if a young man is interested in a young lady and he wants to marry her, the natural order of things is for the man to take the initiation, to be the leader in the relationship, and to take the risk, and to pursue the young woman, and to try to win her heart and make her his bride. Spiritually, it's the same way. The proper order of things is that God, as our husband, God, as our lover, takes the initiation. And when we begin to think that it's incumbent upon us, that we must first work before God will love us, that we must first act before God will respond to us, we flip-flop the order of nature. God is the one who takes the initiation with His people. God is the one who woos and brings us to Himself. God is the one who not only sovereignly and irresistibly draws His people to Himself, but who has the power and the grace to change our heart so that not only do we irresistibly follow Him and pursue after Him, but we lovingly and longingly want to and to desire to seek after Him. If you love the Lord this morning, if you desire to be with Him, it's because He's taken the initiation in your life. He's revealing Himself to you. As one author puts it, He has shown up and showed off. He's revealed to you His glory and giving you a desire for Himself. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance of mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God and to the Holy One of Israel, because He hath glorified thee. This is talking about Jesus Christ and how when God reveals the glory of Jesus Christ to you and I, we can't help but come to Him and love Him and serve Him. And He even talks about these who have great riches and these who were far off coming and bringing their riches to the house of God. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Do you see the beautiful picture between the relationship that Jesus Christ has and with His church and with the nation of Israel here? It says that God in His wrath smote thee, talking about His rejection and His punishment of Israel when they went into captivity. They were about to go into captivity when Isaiah wrote this. And yet God, after 7 years, had mercy and brought them back home. We can apply that to Jesus Christ, how that for our sins, Jesus was smitten. The wrath of God was upon Him. But then 3 days later, He rose from the grave, showing that He was God's beloved Son and that He had satisfied the wrath and the punishment for our sins. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Do not forget this morning, beloved, that the blessings that we so desperately need and the blessings that we've been so freely given do not come to us because of any works of righteousness that we have done. No good thing do you have to offer to the Lord this morning, but the finished work of Jesus Christ says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In Jesus Christ, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It's in Christ that we're blessed this morning and that we can have the hope and the anticipation of many, many more great and marvelous things to come as God reveals Himself to us, all to the praise of the glory of His grace. May God bless you.